Welcome to Get Connected, KDNK's monthly public affairs show about the people and organizations that make up the giving and service community from Aspen to Parachute. I'm Amy Barr, your host. I serve as the executive director of United Way Battlement to the Bells, and this program is an opportunity to share my insights about and connections with our local nonprofits. Now, each month, I interview different charities, hear from dedicated volunteers, talk to the donors who support charitable work, and tell you about ways you too can volunteer. This month's show features a discussion with Garfield County Library District Board Member Alice Bedard-Varese and Library Executive Director Jesse Henning. We'll also visit with Martha Fredendahl of Literacy Outreach as she and her team prepare for the ever-popular Spellebration, our community's local spelling bee and celebration that kicks off tomorrow evening at the Hotel Colorado, and it's free to us attendees. First, we welcome Alice Bedard-Varese and Jesse Henning to the KDNK studios to share the latest news on our six Garfield County libraries. So, Jesse, National Library Week is, in fact, gosh, it's next week. What are our six Garfield County libraries doing that brings focus to the importance of libraries and the many services that I, especially, and other lovers of learning and information enjoy at our local libraries?
Sure. Well, we're bringing focus to the importance of libraries every day through all of the programs and services that we're offering. Some big highlights that are coming up in the month of April, we're actually going to be inviting in a number of authors to come in and work with some of our patrons with writing workshops and talking about their books. One in particular is going to be having a ghost story writing workshop here in Carbondale.
What? A ghost story writing workshop?
Yeah, and our mission at the library is to connect our communities to a world of possibilities. And inviting authors in, giving people access to these sorts of cultural opportunities is really what we're about.
Now that's a new one though, ghost stories. I love it. Is each library doing something a little different?
Yeah, so each library, if you go through and you look on our website, just gcpld.org.
Gcpld.org.
Yep, Garfield County Public Library District. So you can see all the events that we have going on. Each different library has its own programs that really fit the community. So when you have a program in one library, it's different from another. We have story times that run all the way through the month for our youngest patrons. We have story times that are done for folks who speak English and Spanish. We have bilingual story times for people who are English language learners and kids that are English language learners. So we have a lot of stuff that goes on throughout every branch. You have to check each one because each of them is a great way to capture some of the flavor of each of those communities.
I know you're very enthusiastic. You're very positive about the libraries. And I'm just guessing that at least most, if not all, of our listeners are aware of the drastic cuts to the Garfield County Library District. You were forced to make do with reductions, I know. But just in case someone out there hasn't heard the news, can you briefly review why you had to make the hard decisions and cut budgets?
The library district is funded primarily by two funding sources. One is a 1 mil property tax. That's the property tax to help us build and maintain all the buildings. And then we also have a 0.25 sales tax that's on the books.
And that's a special sales tax. I'm happy to pay that sales tax because I love going to get my books and DVDs at the library.
And we appreciate the support. But one of the things that had happened recently is that you know throughout the Valley and a lot of other organizations in the Valley are dependent on property tax. And property tax is really dependent on oil and gas activity here in Garfield County. From 2016 to 2017, we lost $1 billion with a B dollars in valuation from the oil and gas sector.
So $1 billion just here for Garfield County.
Yeah,
right?
in valuation for the property. So for us, what that meant at the library district is from 2016 to 2017, we lost $1.2 million in funding. That's 30% of our operating budget gone from one year to the next. And if you look at it since 2008, where we were, we're actually $2.5 million down from there. So we've seen steady decreases over the years. But at the same time, we're seeing that coupled with some of our highest usage we've ever seen. I mean, from 2008 to 2016, we've seen 74% increase in circulation. So people are checking out more stuff, more people are visiting us.
And that's almost three quarters
more. Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And it's really a testament to, you know, the efforts of the staff, but really our communities love the library. They love the library district. They love coming in. They love the service that we provide. This last year in 2016, we had 57,982 registered cardholders. And if I remember correctly, the total population of Garfield County is around 57,900 people. So I don't want to say that every single person in Garfield County has a library, library card, but a lot of people have library cards.
I have my library card.
A lot of people have library cards here in Garfield County, and that's, again, it's testament to, you know, how much people view us as this essential community resource. Everybody's, you know, coming in and using us, and so that's the stat I'm always really proud to share when I share with, you know, the county commissioners or people throughout the district.
Well, and I was speaking to Raising a Reader recently, and they go, every young child who signs up with Raising a Reader, the first thing they do is get a library card, which is so smart.
The Raising a Reader program is great, and it's really exciting because the kids get their cards when they receive their blue bags, when they graduate from Raising a Reader. And I'll see kids far outside of the Raising a Reader service ages who are still coming in, second, third, fourth grade, all still bringing in their blue bags.
And so that's great.
This great connection that, you know, when you become a library user, it's not just for 3 months. It's not just for a year. You become a library user for life.
I've moved many times in my life. You always go to the library, whether it's New York City or Carbondale or wherever.
Yeah.
What are the most important steps that the board and management have taken to bring revised budgets in line with services? I mean, Alice is here and she sits on the board. I'm sure those discussions are just painful to have.
They were tough discussions because it really cuts into what we do for our communities. We've had to cut our collection budget by 50%. That means 50% fewer new books. That's 50% fewer ebooks, audiobooks, online content, all points in between.
And subscriptions, I think. I went in looking for a Wall Street Journal subscription and you don't have it.
Yeah, we've had to cut the Daily New York Times. We've had to cut some Daily Nationals. I mean, it's been painful for us because one of the things, and I can get up on my library soapbox for a hot second, but one of the things that we do as librarians is we're interested in providing timely and accurate information to our communities. And nowadays when, you know, there's this conversation going on about, you know, fake news and real news and all points in between, we want to be able to provide that service. So we're trying to do everything we can to restore that. But again, that butts up against our, you know, our need to bring our budget in line with, you know, what our revenues are. Something else we had to look at, and this is kind of, this is surprising for a lot of libraries. It was surprising for me as well. We've had to bring our program budgets. That's the, all the programs I just talked about. That program budget for 2017 is zero.
Really?
So, yes. So all programs that we're putting on are either coming from the generous support from our library foundation, from donors in the area. When we talk a little bit about summer reading, our summer reading program is based entirely. So that's, you know, all the prizes for kids, all the printing, all of our programs and presenters, all of that has been sponsored by, or, you know, we're obtaining sponsorship for that. We've had members of the community donate for that. We have, you know, Alpine Bank is helping us out with part of that. We've had a generous donation from Jim and Connie Calloway. You know, we've really seen this outpouring of support for these programs, but that's the budget situation we're in where, you know, some of those things that we've been able to pay for in the past, we really have had to lean on our community partners for.
Well, and it was explained to me, I think I got this right, that you're a library district, so you receive tax-based money. You have to have a foundation in order for donors to give. And so that's why there is a foundation. I think people don't understand that, yes, we all can also give to the library, correct?
Absolutely. We're always looking for donation support. We're looking for, you know, you can donate. One of the things, if you, you know, if you're not able to make a donation or if that's not in your budget, the libraries will take used books and we're able to sell those. That's a pretty large portion of where our foundation budget comes from. And all of that goes directly back into library operations.
Really? I didn't know that because I just slid into the book chute, one of Willa Cather's books. So good.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm donating that way.
We're always looking for people who are able to, you know, help us out with monetary gifts or all points in between, volunteering. We're just leaning on our communities to make the library be a great place for everyone.
And Alice, I have to ask you, as a board member of the Garfield County Libraries, you had to explain this to me, but I know you were a champion of the galleries, libraries, archives, and museums sector, otherwise known as GLAM. At both local and national levels, publicly funded cultural institutions are really facing the challenges of relevance and service to their constituents. We're also worried about federal budget cuts. What are your observations about these challenges and some of the solutions that you have in mind or that you've heard from other people?
I want to just start by saying Garfield District is doing some of the three key things that will help cultural institutions continue to be relevant and serve their audiences in several ways. And so the first one is that they have expanded how they invite the public in to not only consume information and help them navigate it, as the ALA, American Library Association, points out, but also to have a place for creative activity, whether it be the meeting of community groups or writing groups and author visits like Jesse described. Another way that they're expanding it is through partnerships. And again, when Jesse said there was zero in the budget, what followed was an example of not leaving out opportunities to provide programming or the summer reading program, but by seeking partnerships. And a really interesting national example is that the National Gallery in D.C. offers partners with music opportunities to bring people to their venue. The third way that is really a very exciting way that the GLAM sector is expanding their interaction with the public is through the use of technology. And I have to say that one very exciting discovery lately is something you can add to your Chrome browser, and soon you can add it to Safari, but it's a little app called Library.
Just go into your app store and get Library.
Yes,
okay.
And when I put Library on my browser, what it allows me to do is to connect the browser to a local library of my preference. So if I'm in Goodreads or if I'm in Amazon and I'm looking at a book I want to buy, it will pop up and tell me if my library has it and allow me to put a hold on it.
This is great for me. Will it also say they can get it from another library?
Exactly.
For me?
In fact, that was my recent excitement. I was looking at purchasing this particular book. The app came up. It told me that it did not have it at one of the Garfield libraries, but they could interlibrary loan it for me, and that I could actually choose where to have it interlibrary loaned from. So I got it like in 3 days.
I'm impressed because I went into my Carbondale library and I picked up some books that I just went click, click, click. Yes, I want to borrow all these books. And the librarian goes, wow, you got these books from all over. And sure enough, some came from the Front Range. Some came from Mesa out at the university. So I was pretty impressed. And they all came within about 3 to 5 days.
Another service or way that the libraries and other members of the GLAM sector are bringing the public into the multiple things that they can offer them is by offering both workshops and online tutorials and instruction on how to use the various services that they offer. So, for example, if I want to be able to download ebooks or read magazines and I go into the Garfield District, I can look at instructions there so that I know how to set up my reader and also to get subscriptions for magazines that I would like to read electronically.
So you don't even have to walk into your local library.
Correct. Though, of course, it's always a lovely place to go because of everything that is there to, you know, from musical instruments to, again, that creative opportunity, such as at least one of the sites is taking requests for their 3D printing. Again, the whole idea that we are able to allow people different ways to be part of the library community is just, it continues to be astounding. I'm going to shift for a minute and also talk about the fact that National Archives are part of that group. And the National Archive, for example,
which we all own, right?
Yes.
As citizens of the U.S.
And it has an explanation of how to begin a genealogy search, for example. And then on site, I think it's on site this summer, they're actually offering a genealogy camp for kids.
Really? So, you mean online or?
I'm not sure.
Or heading to Washington.
I'm not sure if that one isn't for a physical community, but there are other links there that would help you if you wanted to start a genealogy research.
I loved Skip Gates, who is a friend of the Callaways, I know, and has come to visit, Harvard professor. He has done 3 seasons of Finding Your Roots on PBS, and I said, gosh, I missed a lot of those. And I ordered up from my local library the 3 seasons, and they came from 3 different libraries, and I just finished them all. I did a total binge watch of Finding Your Roots on genealogy. It was fabulous.
And that would be just another example of how the GLAM sector is extending access through technology.
And say again what GLAM means.
It stands for galleries, libraries, archives, and museums. I'd also like to say that most recently the Met put 375,000 images of art that they control the rights to online with full use by any private person or for commercial purposes, again, to provide the public with access to these shared assets.
So that was the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. Oh, great. Yes. One of my favorite hangouts. All right. I have to ask then, because the challenges for constituents and communities and audiences, it's going to get harder, I think, with funds so tight around the country.
What we can continue to invite people to do is to partner with this very important center.
One of my family members said, why do people need libraries anymore when they have computers and Amazon? I go, people aren't like you. I almost fainted because I'm in my library 3 times a week at least. When people say that, I just don't get it. So how do you respond to that?
Yeah, so when you ask a librarian this question, they all like puff up and begin to, you know, you can feel the American flag waving their background. When people, I get asked this question too. I get asked at parties, like, why are you a librarian? Is that still a thing? And there was this big, you know, question about, you know, are libraries relevant? And my answer to that has to do, you know, if libraries are not relevant, then, and this is going to sound weird, but the Constitution is not relevant. Something that's really important to us in the library profession is that we are ardent defenders of the First Amendment. And when we say that, you know, your ability to read what you want and listen to what you want and get what you want from your local library, that's protected speech under the Constitution. So we want to be able to protect that right as best we can. When I say as best we can, I mean, you know, fighting tooth and nail. Librarians have gone to federal courts fighting things like the Patriot Act, fighting things about, you know, releasing patron records, all of those things. You know, we've fought for that because we believe that your First Amendment rights are, you know, essential to our democracy. But on top of that, too, you know, if you look at some of the services that libraries provide, they still line up with some of these constitutional rights. Alice mentioned, you know, I think it was earlier about being able to meet in use the library as a meeting place. I mean, that's your, you know, your right to peacefully assemble. That's something that we do at the library. And I know that people talk about, you know, why do we need libraries when we have Google and Amazon and all points in between? But Google and Amazon exist and provide you information and are collecting all of that personal information and selling it back to the highest bidder. Us at the library, we exist purely to create an informed citizenry. I'm from Central Ohio, and Colorado, as I've learned, has some of the most stringent library privacy laws in the country. That means that there's nobody that can dig into your history about what you're reading or, you know, what you're getting from the library. And I think that's an essential thing that makes us different from Google and Amazon. We're not selling that information. We don't want that information. We just want you to improve your life and learn. We're not trying to create and turn a profit from that. While I'm still standing on my soapbox, though, when we're talking about all of these things in libraries, the one thing that's really important and why I mentioned privacy is that the relationship between you as a citizen and your librarian, that's a sacred bond. That's something, you know, everything is said in confidence. And I know this is, I do want to loop back and kind of talk about this because it has to do with our budget. One of the biggest cuts that I didn't mention earlier is that we had to let staff go. We had to lay staff off to make our budget obligations.
Always painful.
But it's painful for more reasons than, you know, just not seeing a friendly face. You know, now that's a person who, you know, you're able to confide in, the person you're able to ask, you know, that you weren't afraid to feel like you weren't informed in front of, because they were the person that was able to come out and help you. And I think that's the cut that's been the deepest for us. So yeah, when people ask, you know, why do we need libraries for, you know, all of these reasons, you know, the library stands up for you, making sure that you can be an informed citizen so that you can keep your elected officials and take them to task. Something that we talk about a lot too, we've had times where our meeting rooms at our libraries, for, you know, 1 hour, we'll have people that are coming in that are, you know, writing thank you letters to President Trump for everything he's done. And then the next hour right after that, we have another group come in that's writing letters to their senators to try to stop some cabinet appointees. At the library, we're the, you know, and this all happens in one place peacefully, that sort of, you know, community action to get involved in government. We're the incubator for democracy. And I know that's something that people don't think about when they think of the library. They think of, oh, it's a place I can get my DVDs, it's a place I can get my newest bestseller. But we offer that service at our core to defend these rights and get people involved in their community.
And with that, that's fabulous. I couldn't have ever said it better. So thank you so much for coming in today and enlightening us, both of you. You're listening to Get Connected. I'm your host, Amy Barr. Martha Fredendall of Literacy Outreach is here to give us all the news about the annual Spellibration event. This year's Spelling Bee will be held tomorrow night at the Hotel Colorado, starting at 5:30 p.m. What's on the agenda for this year's Spellibration?
Well, we have lots of fun lined up. This year we have a circus theme, so you can expect all the teams to be in costume.
As usual.
As usual, revolving around that theme of the circus. So I would expect some sideshow freaks and, you know, some freaky spellers or something along that line.
Okay.
In addition to the silent auction, which is going on simultaneously, which is a lot of fun, we do have some twist in the spelling bee. So you can buy your way to bragging rights as the best speller in Garfield County if you should choose and you're not a good speller.
But if you're strategic, isn't that why I should buy a pass to help a team?
Absolutely. I tell people if they're going to get a team of three, you have to pre-register your team to spell. But if you haven't pre-registered and you're not spelling, please come out and watch the evening. It's still a lot of fun. But I tell people you need one person who's not afraid of that microphone.
That's right.
And one person who can be your strategy person, tell you when to use your word passes, which we can talk about in just a second how that works. And also one person that maybe actually knows how to spell.
Well, you know, there are some real ringers, though. I mean, they take it so seriously. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I could never be up against these people.
There are some very stellar spellers at this event.
And once in a while, you have somebody who wins more than 1 year in a row if they're on a certain team. Is that right? I remember.
We've had several repeat winners. Dr. Dave Schroeder has won on multiple occasions.
That's the guy.
Uh-huh. And he and his brother, Randy Schroeder, generally spell together, and it was with Lisa Kane, was the third team member, that they won multiple times. In addition, I've seen Valley View Hospital win a few times, and then we had 2 years in a row, I believe, of the Colorado Mountain College Rifle Campus.
Oh, mm-hmm. How many teams do you have this year? Do you know?
We cap at 30.
Oh, okay. It takes a long time to go through the teams with the different spelling, but I have a great time as a spectator. I get to eat your free snacks. There's a cash bar. There's a silent auction. I might get a hot bargain. But it always hangs me up because I'm like, gosh, I get in for free. So I try to buy a pass for a team, but explain the passes. There's a real strategy to pass this. And how much do I have to break out on Friday night, tomorrow night, to buy a pass?
At the event, $30. And if you support a team before, it's $25 for a word pass. Now, a word pass works like this. You get to pass a word. So if you get the word cat, for example, and you don't know how to spell cat, you can say pass and hand over one of your passes. And you get the word dog, and you can spell dog. Or you can hand over two more passes for a total of three passes and get a different word till you get a word that you know how to spell.
And, you know, cat might be the first word, but do you remember off the top of your head, some of those words were so difficult. Number one, I didn't even know what they meant. But number two, very difficult. Even phonetically, they didn't quite spell out that way. So whoever got them right, they really are the kings and queens of spelling.
That is correct. Now, something else that you can do, you can ask the help, or you can pay for the help of the spelling helper.
Oh.
This year, P.T. Barnum will be there.
Fabulous.
And he will help you spell the word if you don't know the word. So if you get the word circus and you don't know how to spell circus, you can give two passes and you can ask him to spell the word for you. And I have to tell you, for the past several years, our spelling helper has been Steve Shute, and Steve is a stellar speller.
He's amazing, and he's a great master of ceremonies up there, too, right?
Yes.
So the teams, they've had sponsors. That's how you raise some money. You also raise some money through the silent auction and from the passes being sold. What is the funding used for, And I know that Literacy Outreach is involved, but you have some other real loyal co-sponsors, don't you?
Well, Literacy Outreach and Colorado Mountain College Learning Labs benefit from this event, and it's all used to support adult literacy within Garfield County to help our learners with basic literacy skills or as far as getting to a GED. The Learning Labs specifically use their funds to support scholarships for GED learners.
Literacy Outreach does financial literacy courses at different times of the year as well. So I have to bring that up because it's kind of one of my favorite shticks. I always show up at 5:30 because I want to be in there first to see all of the costumes. And just the names of the teams are hilarious. They're extremely creative. Can you give us some examples?
Well, we have the Disappearing Wordsmiths this year. Oh. And we have the Siamese Triplets coming in.
That should be great.
The Sideshow Spellers.
Wow.
The Freaky Spellers. We have the Magic Castle, the Town of Newcastle's coming in, and the Calliope Olas. I'm hoping I'm getting that name
wow.
right.
Wow. And P.T. Barnum. Hey, I just have to put a plug. P.T. Barnum was on the board of my alma mater. He was no dummy. So there you go. The always colorful and entertaining Spellibration will be held tomorrow night, April 7th, Hotel Colorado in the main ballroom. Doors open at 5:30, great silent auction, complimentary snacks, cash bar, and really a fun evening. Thanks to our listeners for joining us on Get Connected. Thanks also to our guests, Alice Bedard-Varese and Jesse Henning of the Garfield County Library District, to Spellibration's Martha Fredendahl, and also to KDNK Public Affairs Coordinator Amy Haddon-Marsh.